Imagine a Google security engineer, right? Just sneaking a look at the future.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then placing a $2.7 million bet on a crypto platform and walking away a millionaire before anyone even realizes what happened.
It's wild. It reads exactly like a heist movie.
It totally does. But now imagine that same tech industry is trying to launch continuously learning AI that tracks your every heartbeat, your sleep cycles, your daily habits. Suddenly, that security breach feels a lot more personal.
Yeah, it hits way closer to home.
Exactly. So, welcome to this custom-tailored deep dive. We are taking the May 28, 2026 edition of the Techin Morning Newsletter and decoding the ground-shifting strategic pivots that big tech is making right over our heads.
Quite literally over our heads in some cases.
Literally and figuratively, yeah. Because whether it's an $11 billion space monopoly or the absolute end of the free social media era or, that insider trading story we just mentioned, the underlying theme today is monetization.
Right. It really is a massive structural shift.
Yeah. The era of free, open digital infrastructure is basically closing. The toll booths are being installed.
They absolutely are. I mean, we are watching the transition from an internet funded by invisible advertising to one funded by direct infrastructure taxes. And that tax applies to everything, from the orbit of the planet to the algorithms that are processing your private messages.
Okay, let's unpack this because I want to start with the literal orbit part. Because Amazon is effectively taxing the hardware in space right now.
Oh, absolutely.
They just acquired Globalstar for $11.57 billion.
Which is just a massive number.
Huge. But to understand the sheer scale of this, we have to look at what they actually bought because they didn't just buy a company.
No, they didn't.
They bought Apple's 20% stake in that company and transferred it to an Amazon subsidiary called Grapefruit Acquisition Sub 2.
Right. Grapefruit Acquisition Sub 2, which is just a hilariously innocuous name for a corporate maneuver that can, completely shifts the balance of power in global telecommunications.
Yeah, a very cute name for a very aggressive move.
Exactly. But to really understand why this matters, you have to look at what Apple originally held. Because back in 2024, Apple invested $1.1 billion to secure 400,000 Class B shares of Globalstar.
Okay, wait. Let's clarify what a Class B share actually means in this context, because that's not just your standard stock purchase, right?
Oh, far from it. No. Class B shares, they typically carry super voting rights.
Okay.
So Apple didn't just invest money, they bought structural control over the company's direction. And they locked down 85% of Globalstar's satellite capacity exclusively for the iPhone's emergency SOS feature. Yeah, they effectively monopolized the network. And now Apple has surrendered that control and those super voting rights directly to Amazon.
So it's like Apple originally made a deal to just, I don't know, rent the fast lane on a space highway for emergencies.
Right.
But Amazon just walked in and bought the entire highway system, and they plan to open the toll booths to everyone.
That is exactly what's happening.
Because they want to offer D2D, right? Direct-to-device services, meaning your standard smartphone connects straight to a satellite. You don't even need a cell tower on the ground.
And it's a market that's projected to hit $50 billion by 2030.
$50 billion. But mechanically, how does Amazon plan to compete with Starlink here? Because Elon Musk has, what, over 5,000 Starlink satellites in orbit right now?
Yeah, over 5,000.
And Globalstar has about 50. I mean, that's a David and Goliath situation, except David is Amazon.
Well, what's fascinating here is the dual strategy at play. Let's look at Apple first, right?
Okay.
Apple is recognizing that launching and maintaining a constellation of satellites is just a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, it's not their core business.
Right. So they are intentionally outsourcing their physical hardware infrastructure. They want to focus purely on software and the user experience.
Yeah.
Let Amazon deal with the rocket launches and the orbital mechanics.
Makes sense.
Now, for Amazon, yeah, 50 satellites is basically a rounding error compared to Starlink.
It's barely a blip on the radar.
Exactly. But Amazon has unparalleled capital. They are buying Globalstar's existing regulatory licenses, their spectrum rights, and they're absorbing Apple's years of operational experience running those SOS services.
Oh, so they aren't starting from zero.
Not at all. They don't have to start from scratch. They just have to scale. So by injecting billions into Globalstar, Amazon breaks the Starlink monopoly.
Wow. And what does that mean for us, the consumers?
The downstream effect for you is massive. I mean, we are looking at projections where the cost of satellite connectivity drops from the current, say, $15 to $20 a month down to under $5 by 2028.
Okay, so Amazon is taxing the hardware in orbit. But down here on Earth, Meta is realizing they can't rely on the invisible tax of ad revenue anymore, right?
They really can't.
They need a direct infrastructure tax, which brings us to their new subscription model. Meta is currently 98% dependent on advertising revenue.
98%.
And they are trying to escape that trap by officially launching paid subscriptions worldwide. So we're talking Instagram Plus and Facebook Plus at $3.99 a month, WhatsApp Plus at $2.99 a month, and these new Meta One bundles that go up to $19.99 a month for premium.
Right. And the underlying mechanism driving this, it's all about predictability.
Predictability.
Yeah, because advertising revenue is incredibly volatile. It fluctuates based on macroeconomic trends, supply chain issues.
Oh, right, and privacy changes.
Exactly. Increasingly strict privacy regulations that make targeted ads way less effective. Subscriptions, on the other hand, provide a stable, predictable foundation.
Sure.
The Tekken analysis actually notes that if Meta captures just 5% of its 3.2 billion users at that basic $3.99 tier, they generate $7.66 billion in annual recurring revenue.
Just off 5% of the user base.
Yeah. That's why Wall Street drove their stock up 3.2% to $542 right after the announcement.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because, wait, hold on. You're telling me people are actually going to pay $4 a month for Facebook?
I mean, the numbers suggest they will.
A platform that has been completely free since 2004, I just don't buy that people will suddenly start paying a subscription to see their aunt's political rants and high school acquaintances' vacation photos.
It's a tough sell, for sure.
Like, yes, $3.99 is less than a Starbucks coffee, but the psychological barrier of crossing from a free utility to a paid service is massive.
It is a massive psychological barrier. And honestly, alienating the user base is listed as the primary con in the source material.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But consider the historical precedent here. We saw the exact same skepticism when YouTube Premium launched, right?
And it's true.
People said, I'm never paying for YouTube. I'll just skip the ads.
Yeah.
But today, YouTube Premium is a multi-billion dollar business.
Yeah, and Spotify too.
Exactly. Spotify's the same story. The mechanism for success relies entirely on delivering undeniable, concrete value.
Okay, so what is the value with Meta? Just ad removal.
Well, ad removal is the baseline. But if you look at the Meta One premium tier, the one at $19.99 a month, the true value proposition there isn't just an ad-free feed.
Okay.
It's access to high computing power and advanced AI. Meta knows that purely paying for an ad-free social network won't convert enough users. So they have to bundle it with next-generation productivity tools.
Ah, so they are betting that the AI access will be the actual hook?
That's the bet.
But if we connect this AI arms race to the bigger picture of our own data, we hit a massive bottleneck, don't we?
We do.
Because the AI that Meta is offering, or the AI we use from OpenAI or Anthropic right now, it's fundamentally static.
Yes.
Which brings us to this startup called Trajectory, founded by former Google and Apple researchers, and they are tackling something called continuous learning. Because right now, the biggest problem with AI isn't how smart it is, it's that it has total amnesia.
That is the core technical barrier in the industry today. It's often referred to as catastrophic forgetting.
Catastrophic forgetting.
Yeah. When you interact with a standard large language model, it doesn't actually learn from you. Its neural pathways are frozen at the exact moment its training was completed.
So it's stuck in time.
Exactly. If the developers want the AI to learn new information, they can't just, you know, feed it a new book.
Right.
They have to spend millions of dollars in compute power and months of time retraining the entire model from the ground up. Otherwise, the new information overwrites and essentially destroys the old information.
Right. So current AI is like having a brilliantly smart assistant who suffers from severe amnesia every single night.
That's a great way to put it.
Like, they are a genius, but every morning you have to reteach them the company culture, what projects you're working on, how you like your emails formatted.
Exhausting.
Yeah. But Trajectory is building the assistant who actually remembers yesterday. Mechanically, though, how are they doing this without spending millions of dollars on server farms every single night?
Well, they are using an approach that's inspired by vibe coding.
Okay, vibe coding, which sounds like a developer typing away while listening to a lo-fi hip-hop stream.
It really does.
Yeah.
But in practice, vibe coding refers to incredibly fast, iterative feedback loops.
Okay.
Developers write code with an AI, they test it instantly, they see what breaks, and they iterate immediately. Trajectory has figured out a way to apply that rapid iteration directly to the AI's underlying model.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Instead of retraining the entire massive neural network, their architecture dynamically updates specific isolated weights in real time based on your daily interactions.
So it happens locally.
Exactly. It happens locally, and it happens at a very low marginal cost.
You know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, this completely democratizes AI.
It absolutely does.
Historically, if a hospital wanted an AI trained on its specific diagnostic patterns, they needed a $1 million budget to rent server space and custom train a model.
Right. Totally out of reach for most.
Yeah. But with Trajectory's continuous learning, a small clinic, or like a freelance coding team, could own a personalized assistant that actively adapts to their unique workflows day by day. You aren't renting a generic brain from a tech giant anymore. You are cultivating a specialized intelligence.
It's huge.
Right.
But there is a physical catch.
Oh.
To utilize a continuously learning AI, it needs a continuous stream of data.
Yeah.
The AI needs sensors to observe your habits, your physiology, and your environment.
Ah. Which brings us to the hardware squeeze.
Yes, it does.
Because tech giants are fiercely slashing hardware prices to get these sensors onto our bodies and into our homes. Just look at the new Google Fitbit Air.
Yeah, that device is fascinating.
It's $99. It weighs just 12 grams. There is absolutely no screen. It has a 7-day battery life, and it tracks your heart rate, blood oxygen, skin temperature, and even AFib.
Right, which is atrial fibrillation.
Basically detecting irregular heart rhythms that could indicate serious medical issues. And they are pricing this to directly kill their main competitor, Whoop.
The economics of this strategy reveal the true business model here.
Oh, the math is wild. Whoop charges a $30 a month subscription with no upfront cost. So that's $360 a year.
Right.
Google drops the Fitbit Air for $99 up front, and the core tracking is free. But the real play is the optional $9.99 a month subscription for the Google Health Coach.
Which is powered by their Gemini AI to actually analyze all that data.
Exactly. A year of the Fitbit Air plus the AI Coach is roughly $218. They are undercutting Whoop by over $100.
It's good, aggressive.
Very. And we see the same race to the bottom in tablets, too. Apple just authorized historic discounts on the iPad Air M4, knocking up to $100 off, bringing the 11-inch down to $519.
Yeah, the tablet discounts are a reaction to a 5% drop in Q1 sales, but they point to the exact same underlying truth as the Fitbit.
Which is?
The physical hardware, the glass screen, the aluminum casing, the optical heart rate sensor. It's become a low-margin commodity.
Wait, so I have to challenge this hardware as a service model for a second.
Go for it.
When I look at that $99 Fitbit Air, it really feels like we are just buying cheap sensors to essentially rent our own bodily functions back from Google's Gemini AI.
Well, I mean, that is precisely what is happening. The hardware is a loss leader.
Yeah.
The device itself is no longer the product. It is merely the hook. Google doesn't care about making a profit on a 12-gram piece of plastic.
Right.
They care about pulling you into a software ecosystem where your biometric data feeds their continuously learning AI. And then you pay $10 a month in perpetuity for the privilege of seeing the insights derived from your own sweat and heartbeat.
But as these companies collect all this incredibly intimate data, our daily routines, our heartbeats, our search queries, the responsibility to secure it becomes monumental.
It's the biggest risk factor they have.
And that brings us to the dark side of this centralized data access. The most shocking story in the Taken newsletter today is the case of Michelle Spagnuolo.
Oh, yeah. It perfectly illustrates the vulnerability of having so much power concentrated behind corporate firewalls.
So, Michelle Spagnuolo is a 36-year-old security engineer at Google. He was arrested in New York on May 27th, and what he did is just mind-blowing.
It really is.
He used confidential internal data regarding Google's Year in Search 2025 campaign. That's the massive list of the most searched terms they publish globally every December.
Right.
Before the list went public, he accessed that data and used it to place $2.7 million in bets on a Web3 prediction platform called Polymarket. He netted $1.2 million in pure profit, and now he faces up to 20 years in federal prison.
This is the absolute definition of insider trading, completely updated for the decentralized internet era.
So what does this all mean mechanically? How do you even bet on search terms? And more importantly, how does a security engineer pull this off for months without a company like Google noticing?
Well, let's break down the mechanics of the platform first. Polymarket is not a traditional stock exchange. It is a decentralized prediction market operating on a blockchain. So think of it less like a traditional casino with security cameras and floor managers, and more like a global network of vending machines powered by smart contracts.
Oh, so there's no central compliance officer sitting at a desk checking IDs or flagging suspicious trades.
Exactly. Users buy and sell shares based on the outcome of future events, everything from election results to pop culture trivia, and yes, Google search trends.
Wow.
Because it's decentralized and uses cryptocurrency, Spanduolo likely assumed his trades were anonymous and completely insulated from traditional financial oversight. There was no broker to flag a sudden $2.7 million bet.
But that only explains the betting side of things. How did he get the data out of Google in the first place?
You'd think Google, of all companies, would know when an employee is downloading massive amounts of highly sensitive search data.
This raises an important question about anomaly detection, which the tech and analysis heavily focuses on.
Okay.
Tech giants spend billions fortifying their perimeters against external hackers, nation states, ransomware syndicates.
Right, the outside threats.
Yeah, but Spagnuolo wasn't breaking in. He already had the keys. As a security engineer, he had legitimate access to internal systems.
Ah, I see.
The failure here was the lack of behavioral anomaly detection. Google's internal security systems failed to recognize that a security engineer had absolutely no legitimate business reason to be continuously querying the marketing department's unreleased search trend data over a period of months.
It's a terrifying precedent, really. We've spent this entire deep dive looking at how companies are maneuvering to collect and monetize our data. Mm-hmm. We started with Amazon effectively buying the fast lane in space to control satellite data. We looked at Meta trying to charge us $4 a month just to use social media without being tracked and targeted by ads.
Yep.
We explored Trajectory's mission to build AI that continuously learns our personal workflows, and Google practically giving away biometric sensors to feed our heartbeats into their algorithms.
It's all connected.
It is. And then we cap it off with a security engineer exploiting the data he was hired to protect for $1 million crypto payout.
The through line is absolute.
Yeah.
Data and infrastructure are no longer free utilities. They are tightly controlled, highly monetized assets, and the companies controlling them are shifting the cost directly onto the user.
We've talked a lot today about paying for privacy and, you know, paying a premium to avoid being the product. But here's something else to mull over as we wrap up.
Okay, what's that?
Well, if Trajectory's continuous AI learns our every digital habit and Google's wearable sensors track our stress levels, our sleep, and our heartbeats, what happens when these personalized, continuously learning AIs are subpoenaed in a court of law?
Oh, wow.
Right. If you are involved in a lawsuit or a criminal investigation, can the prosecution demand access to the AI that has learned your every move? Are we paying a $10 monthly premium to build the ultimate, highly accurate digital witness against ourselves?
That is a chilling thought. Mm-hmm. It forces you to question whether true privacy can even exist in an ecosystem designed to record literally everything.
It really makes you look at that $99 fitness tracker a little differently, doesn't it? We want to thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Tech in Morning newsletter. Keep questioning the mechanics behind these rapid changes in the tech world. Pay attention to where the toll booths are being built. We'll catch you next time.